Hold me close, I'm tired of dancing. Count the headlights on the highway.
Join the conversation on Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron. Text 580-580 right now.
.309, welcome back. We got a text from Councillor Carr with an exact price tag on what the speed boards cost. These are the boards where you're driving up to them. They gauge your speed. Sometimes if you're a teenager, you try and run past them and see if it'll register your speed when you're on foot. Usually doesn't. Not that I've tried or anything, Mitch.
No.
How much do they cost?
They cost $3,500 a piece.
It's not a bad bargain, I don't think, for one of those speed boards.
It's a lot for a board that tells you how fast you're going. But
do you think that they're effective in your experience?
I think so, maybe. There was one in my neighborhood where I grew up when I was a kid, and I think you would see some people slow down, some people would speed up. It depends. I think they must be somewhat effective, more so than just a regular sign.
Mm-hmm. Joining us right now to talk about various measures that are employed by the City of Ottawa, or that could be, we've got the Executive Director of the Ottawa Safety Council, Jamie Kwong. Welcome back.
Hi there, Christy. Happy New Year to you and everyone.
Happy New Year to you. We were talking about speeding in the Alta Vista neighborhood, but really, Jamie, we could be talking about so many neighborhoods. I get emails about Orleans. I get emails from other parts of the city, to the West End in Kanata, to the South End, Barrhaven, etc. What kinds of devices do you believe are the most effective to stop that behavior?
I think there are a lot of different countermeasures. And one thing I would like to recommend is engineers, civil engineers for the city can probably speak to this much better than I could. But just working in road safety and working at a business improvement area over the last few years, there's been certain things that we worked on with different counselors. And some of them are popular, some of them aren't so popular. And some of them are evidence-based, have more evidence and more new evidence coming out that shows the effectiveness. And people aren't going to always like them. Let's talk about speed cameras. So one of the things that we find so interesting about them is that they're only going to be put up in community safety zones.
Mm-hmm.
Community safety zones are where there are schools. And so, as you all know, OSC has a vested interest in school zones because we care about kids. We have our crossing guards across the whole city. Every day, we're dealing with issues of aggressive drivers and drivers speeding. That is putting people's lives at risk. And there's been lots of documented studies already. The city has spoken to this. Various cities are implementing it. We're at national conferences where they're talking about automated speed cameras and how effective they are in reducing speed. People obviously do not like that. But when we're looking at the alternatives, do you want a $200 ticket or whatever it is? I've received one before and it's $270. That was brutal. Or do you want to one day accidentally hit somebody because your carelessness and speeding and pressing the gas pedal did that? So we want people to wake up and take responsibility in how they're driving and using the road,
right,
especially in school zones. So, you know, I'm going to say, speed cameras are an effective tool. One of the other ones I've seen in the past before was reducing, and it works only for certain types of neighborhoods, is reducing the lanes. And so an example is MacArthur Avenue. So I used to work at the BIA, and MacArthur was one of our streets. It had two lanes each way. How is that possible? It's an and it's a main street, so we want people to use the street and walk and be pedestrians, be cyclists, but the infrastructure wasn't safe. And so they actually created parking. They put in planters. They put in permanent cement planters, reduced the lanes one way each way, created a cycling lane, and then it fed into the pedestrian bridge, and it just created a much safer way for cyclists and pedestrians to get around MacArthur. And we noticed that helped calm down measures. So it's things like these that cities can invest in. But in the end, reducing fatalities and major collisions on neighborhood and main streets is not rocket science. It's slowing down. It's obeying traffic signals. It's reducing your speed so that you're going the speed limits. The speed limits are the speed limits for a reason. If it's 30 or 40 in a residential area, it's because that is, if you're going 30 kilometers an hour, if you do hit a pedestrian, especially in those high traffic areas with kids, you're less likely to cause a fatality. 9 out of 10 people who get hit at that speed will survive. When you keep increasing that, when you get to 50 or 60, suddenly the statistics are against you and that fatality is much more serious. So one in 10 will survive if you're driving and you hit them at 65 kilometers an hour. So we need people to start paying attention, and that when you're behind the wheel, you have a lot of responsibility.
I want to go back to a few things you said, because there was a lot in that. Just very quickly on photo radar, and our listeners know how I feel about this. I understand that we don't want people speeding through residential neighborhoods. I never do that in my neighborhood, and I see many close calls. The problem with the one where I am is that it's on Woodruff, and it's not actually in the neighborhood where there are no sidewalks, and there are little kids, and there are dogs and families. And my big thing is that I think we need to make people more aware of the existence of the cameras. I think they ought to be a little bit better marked, because it's a bit belated when the ticket begins to arrive in the mail and the person has already made the risk. They've created the danger. They've sped through. If we want to truly disrupt the behavior and not just punish people financially, I think that we ought to have some more lights on these things. What's your stance on that?
Well, absolutely. So there's not going to be one panacea for creating safer roads. So enforcement, these are what speed cameras do. They're enforcement and also preventative kind of measure. Once you've been hit hard, you kind of like learn from that mistake, hopefully. So that deterrent effect with an enforcement kind of tool. There's also engineering. So usually countermeasures go up when the engineering of that road isn't at the safest that it should be. And so as new developments come up, there should be no excuse for developing safer communities in newer developments. With all the research out there on what it builds a safer community for everyone and all types of modes of transportation, the info is there. So, but if we're going retroactively to try to make other roads safer, countermeasures are your way. Speed cameras can be one element. Building humps, so speed bumps, can be another element in slowing down. Those are quite effective, and research does show that. In the summer, when we had the little bendy kind of boards to kind of funnel traffic into smaller areas and make it go slower, those have been effective. The thermoplasts, I'm not the biggest fan of them, and my concerns I have brought up with city councils because they make it very slippery on the road, which makes it unsafe for motorcycle riders.
Can you just describe what that is for the listeners who are not in the know?
That language is very city kind of language. It's those green plastic things that are on the road, and you see them, and they say the speed sometimes, or they say slow down, but they're big and they're basically plastic. Those haven't been shown to be super, super effective. I know that some councils have said that to me, but also they create a danger for motorcycle riders. And that's the feedback I've gotten back from our motorcycle instructors at our training school, which we've run for 56 years. And when those are wet for a cyclist or for a motorcycle rider, it becomes a danger. So if we're looking at signage, I think there are more effective ways at signage, like you said. And I do believe we have to look at our signage and see how we can make it more effective. Sometimes there's signage pollution and you're very confused. What speed? Where do I park? When can I do this? And that gets confusing, because you're passing a sign in a few seconds, milliseconds sometimes. And so we do have to find ways to create safer roads in general through engineering. And when we have to go retroactive, we have to look at countermeasures. And then we have to look at enforcement, because we all know we are human beings. We err. And so we do have to find ways to enforce, you know, proper behavior to make everyone safe. But then there's also the preventative elements, like you talked about. We need to do stuff way ahead of time. And that's where we come in at the Ottawa Safety Council, is engagement and education. And we're trying to do our best in educating people from JK to grade 6 and above and the public on how can we all take responsibility, take accountability for how we use the roads. And it's really simplistic and sometimes silly when people are just blaming one source all the time. Blame the city, blame motorists, blame cyclists. No, all of us need to take responsibility for making our roads safer.
Thanks so much for the time, Jamie. Oh, sorry to cut you off there.
No, so sorry. Thank you for giving me the space to share about this.
Jamie Kwong from the Ottawa Safety Council with her thoughts and suggestions on what works. As I said, I just think if we're trying to reduce the true risk, then we ought to alert people a little bit better when they're going into these radar zones. And I think that we would all be glad with that. And again, I know I see people accusing the city, this is a cash cow, this brings in a lot of money. It is. People are also committing an offense. They're going too quickly. I just think, yes, you should know the speed limit. You should be paying attention. But also, when we're installing the photo radar, why not mark it a little bit more? Why not make it stand out? Alert people to the existence of these cameras. And then you actually truly are making the road a safer place. That should be the end goal. 319. I've been a, throw up the
sex in a, Listen anytime, anywhere, through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Now, Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron continues on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
/323 Welcome back to the show. A lot of text messages rolling in on photo radar and speed bumps and speed boards. Patrick from Osgood said, Christy, I just listened to your segment about the speed cameras, but unfortunately, I've got to disagree with you this time. I don't think that we have to put up more signs. We should not have to warn drivers, and that's it. Why should we appease the stupidity of drivers who speed and don't obey the law? Plus, spending more money so that these drivers know that they're going to disobey the law. Sorry, not cool. Have a great weekend. I hear you. I agree. The speed limits need to be respected. And if you're caught going above the speed limit, then you're handed a ticket and you deserved it. But I'm just saying, if the end goal here is to truly make kids safer in school zones and people walking their dogs and parents and the elderly, then I think that we could better mark the photo radar. But I don't want this to turn into a huge debate about photo radar. I want to hear from you about your neighborhood, what speed calming measures would be appropriate, and what you do. Do you ever go outside? Do you give people the death stare? Do you put up your own sign? Kids playing here. Do you patrol the neighborhood? I swear, we've got a parent in our neighborhood that does a little bit of that, at least the death glare. We'll get back to that very soon. 324. A new study is shedding some light on the world's oldest known fossilized skin that belonged to a species of reptile. It's a reptile that lived before dinosaurs roamed the earth. The sample was one of thousands that was donated to a team by an amateur collector back in 2018, found in a limestone cave in Oklahoma, United States. And it is at least, wrap your head around this, 130 million years older than the oldest previously known skin fossil. Here to talk about it, the lead author of the study that looked into this, Ethan Mooney, who's a paleontology graduate student at U of T. Hi, Ethan. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you were able to find out more about the oldest known fossilized skin. Tell our listeners how you went about that.
Well, we were lucky enough to get ourselves a piece of actual mummified skin, and we were able to cut it in half and look at the internal structure of it and indeed confirm that it was, in fact, skin.
How careful do you have to be handling that skin, the mummified skin that is that old?
Oh, it's very, very delicate. It's about as thick as a piece of paper, and it's carbon, actually.
Were you nervous handling it?
Absolutely, but we are professionals.
Of course. Okay. And then tell me about the testing that you performed.
Yeah. So we cut it in half and we looked at the internal structure, and we did see structures consistent with modern reptiles. And so we can associate it with reptilian skin. And the role of that skin in moving onto land from aquatic environments was quite interesting.
These types of discoveries are remarkable. It's incredible what you're able to establish by having the gift of this skin. What was it like for you to be able to look back millions of years ago?
Yeah, this is an exceptional opportunity and window into deep time and to see what a little bit more about what these animals may have looked like. And at this time, mammals don't even exist. It would have been a very alien world. And so it's quite an exceptional the feat that we've accomplished here.
Do we know anything about the conditions of the cave at that time? What the world would have been like where this animal died and decomposed?
Yeah, so Oklahoma at that time, if you can believe it or not, was more tropical and monsoonal in its climate. And so these animals would have fallen into this cave, which was actually also an active oil seep. And so they interacted with petroleum and tar and gave it really a critical edge in being able to be preserved. And so we could find it today and describe it.
What else would you want to study about this animal, about this skin?
Ideally, we'd like to try and find other organic remains, mainly proteins or other cells that can tell us maybe even the color of what the skin would look like.
Right. And how much information do we have about the animal itself? I mean, do we have a sense of what it might have looked like or how big it might have been?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty well-known animal. Among paleontologists, it's very lizard-like. It might have been maximum 25 centimeters long. It's very stocky, very cute, actually, in its demeanor, and depicted in a lot of art. And it has a very noticeable overbite at its snout.
Okay, I can see why you're describing it as cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it has some similarities with other reptiles around that time?
Yeah.
Interesting. How tough is it, or how rare is it to actually get skin like this? I'm trying to figure out if there's a possibility of finding the skin of other reptiles that would have been around in the same cave.
Oh, we can dream, but having soft tissue become a fossil in itself is extremely rare. And then when you think about the millions of years that have gone by since this animal died, and then the luck, the sheer chance that is involved in someone finding it, and then also having it described and put out to the world, it's just mind-boggling.
Thanks so much for joining us, Ethan. It was a real pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you.
Ethan Mooney, who's the lead author of the study and a paleontology graduate at the University of Toronto. So they got, my mind is just blown by this, Mitch. They got a small sample of that skin, which they ever so delicately studied and dated and determined that it is the oldest known fossilized skin and that it belonged to a reptile that was kind of a cute lizard. How neat is that? That's the kind of guest I could go for a coffee with and just listen to for hours, because that is such a fascinating job to me. 3:30.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
And we're rolling air.
Mr. Hollywood's movie picks.
Action.
Well, 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 it's my favorite time of the week. The best time of the day on Friday. It's the launch of the weekend as we get excited to welcome my friend, my buddy, my pal, Matt Damaris, Mr. Hollywood.
Well, hello. Well, that was quite the intro. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here as well.
I know. I really pumped your tires there. I was buttering your Brussels. I was really getting you excited for the segment because I'm excited for it.
For a minute, I thought you were going to be introducing somebody else. I was like, wait, I thought I was coming.
I know. I heard the hesitancy in your voice. Like, did I call in at the wrong time? Or?
But here's the thing. And I know a lot of people, they always get excited what's new in cinemas. I know a lot of people be hunkering down. We'll talk a little bit about what they might be able to catch at home. But if you can make your way to the cinemas, I got those options as well. Christy, we're going to go back in time for our first one. It's a remake of the 2004 film that we all love. It's called Mean Girls.
Oh, hell no!
Move.
Hey, PG-13, please.
What was that?
Oh, Lord, it's the Queen Bee.
Regina George.
Don't look her in the eye!
You could be really hot if you change, like, everything.
Welcome to Health and Human Sexuality.
We'll be getting into abstinence, of course, then followed by in the spring, condoms and choking.
You're learning things now that I don't know how to teach.
Are you okay in there? We're concerned you're either doing drugs or having a toilet baby.
Ew.
You know, I was very concerned when I saw they were remaking Mean Girls. Because I remember when the original came out, 2004, and I went to the movie theater. And I got all dressed up and I went with my two best friends and we took in the original film. And it was amazing and it still is hilarious. But now the plastics are back. And I thought it was going to be a remake with just younger actors that are now the perfect age. But it's a musical?
Yeah. That's the new addition, the big addition to this. So it's a hybrid, okay? So they did remake that original movie, the 2004 one, which, by the way, is still so great. Canada's own Rachel McAdams as the devilish Regina George in that original. And, of course, Lindsay Lohan. That was maybe her most famous movie ever. So this is a remake of that, the one that you love, Christy, but it's also combining it with a Broadway musical that's also based on Mean Girls that was also written by Tina Fey. Now, here's the good news. Tina Fey's fingerprints are all over this. She still wrote it. She's still involved in it, and she's co-starring in it. So it still works. It's still funny. And you know what? I think this movie's actually pretty fetch. It's if I can use that term, I'm bringing it back. The musical moments mesh pretty good. They're not just kind of tacked on. And I did enjoy the new cast. You know, the new Regina, Renee Rapp. She's a scene stealer. Remember that name, because I would love to see her in anything she does. But they've also got some new faces in there. John Hamm, you heard in that little clip, he's funny. He's playing the coach. But all the classic moments, Christy, that you would remember from the movie, they're there. They add new wrinkles to it. So if you're watching it in cinemas, when certain things come up, like, you know, when he asks what day it is and stuff, the applause, there'll be cheers in the audience, because they're such classic moments. But it's
October the 3rd, by the way.
That was the day. Yeah. So I won't call it a cash grab. Some people are calling it a cash grab. I won't go that far. Was it necessary? Not really. I also didn't like, you know, the plastics. They were pretty infamously, like, mean, like, nasty. They kind of sanitized them a bit here. I don't know. They're offensive light. I'm going 7. 7 flames out of thumb.
She doesn't even go here.
That movie is so iconic. You know, that was my Halloween costume. Not last year, but the year before. I went as the goth girl in that show or the movie. What's her name?
I remember the photo, but yes. And Drake, who was he? He was somebody from
Janice Ian. I went as Janice Ian, and he went as the guy who calls out, "She doesn't even go here," with the blue hoodie that's all pulled in tight and the sunglasses on. Everybody immediately knew who we were at the Halloween party, because that movie is so iconic, as I said. Renee Rapp, who you mentioned, is actually a singer-songwriter, and she's quite popular. She's gained a lot of recognition because she was in the show The Sex Lives of College Girls, which took off, and a lot of people liked it. And she's actually got quite the following as a musician. She's pretty good. So I can see her being a good singer, but I don't know about remaking Mean Girls as a musical. I don't think I can sit down and take it in again. It wouldn't get me to the movie theater.
I'm curious that if you do get around to it, you let us know, because as someone that really enjoyed the original, I'm curious your take. But I think it still works. I don't think people like yourself should be too worried.
Next up, where should we take it?
Oh, let's go. Let's do the action. We got to talk about this latest action movie. I'm excited to tell everyone about The Beekeeper.
Everyone, need your attention, please. I'm going to burn this place to the ground.
This place was crabgrass and weeds, and you brought it back to life.
Mrs. Parker and I were friends. She was like family. She was the only person who ever took care of me.
I just got a message saying that there's a problem with my computer.
Yes, ma'am, we got this.
Yesterday, she shot herself.
This is private property.
Do you know what they do here? Scamming the weakest in our society?
Buddy, I'm count to 3.
1, 2, 3. There, I did it for you.
Tell us about it.
Chrissy, you know I love horror, but in addition to that, action is my favorite movie genre. And I was so disappointed with the offerings last year, with the exception of John Wick, which always knocks it out of the park. But here we have a really great one. It's called The Beekeeper. Don't be fooled by this title. There's more to it than meets the eye, and that title, The Beekeeper, means more than what you might think. Yes, the character takes care of bees, but there's also this maybe an underground group that he was part of called The Beekeepers. It's Jason Statham at 56 years of age, still going beast mode, still getting it done. And what I liked about this movie, so he's out for revenge. You heard kind of in that trailer that someone that he really cared for, some people did some bad things to her. He's out for revenge. And what's great about this is they really, really make you hate those people that you're supposed to hate. So when they get their comeuppance, when he goes out for the justice, it means so much. And I really like the dialogue. Usually with action movies, it's kind of like, you know, kind of just terrible dialogue with those Expendables movies, just to call them out. But here, I thought it was really great. They're kind of witty. There's some interesting banter between the other people involved. Of course, Statham does his talking with his fist. Lots of explosions, lots of fun. I can't tell you to go watch this any more than I have. 8.5 flaming thumbs out of 10.
Interesting. Not so bad of a rating. That's a pretty fresh rating, I'd say, Matt.
Yeah, I'm shocked at how much I like this this movie. I got really into it. And I saw this, by the way, on IMAX. I don't know if that makes a difference, but, you know, the explosions, I guess.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Larger than life. You feel like you're there.
There you go.
Finally, rounding out our roster for today, we've got something that's a little bit different. We've got a musical already, an action, and now we have a heist comedy, The Lift.
Can I get you a drink, Gabby?
Agent Gladwell.
Am I in trouble?
You and your friends are looking at identity fraud, money laundering, and transportation of stolen property. But I'm here to offer you a deal. We need you to steal something.
Okay, guys, listen up. Our next score is going to be our biggest yet.
Like the soundtrack.
Yeah, soundtrack, and you know what this movie is? It's a slick movie. It looks like, it sounds slick, and it's got quite the slick cast. Kevin Hart, as you might have heard there, Sam Worthington, Vincent D'Onofrio, I love him. It's actually a really great cast. This one's on Netflix. Remember I said you can find some options at home, so this is new. You can watch it at home. Here's the problem, though. The comedy aspect doesn't quite hit. You expect Kevin Hart to bring the laughs. Yeah, there's some comedy moments there. And then they're saying, as you mentioned, it's also a heist movie, right? They're trying to pull off this heist on an airplane, by the way. So you expect there to be lots of thrills and suspense, and yeah, they kind of get there. It's not quite. So it's not quite the suspense action heist, and it's not quite the comedy. So it's just kind of this middling, you know, passable distraction. It's fine. I'm not going to say, you know, it's absolutely terrible. But I'm not going to say it's great either. I expect more from Kevin Hart, by the way, because I'm such a fan. Chrissy's got so much charisma, so maybe that's why I'm being so hard on it. Unfortunately, though, I'm only going to give it a 5.
You know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box office poison.
Sadly. Sadly it is. Yeah.
Okay, for the folks that are cozying up and they're calling it quits this weekend and they're just staying indoors because of the snow that's coming, and they don't really want to go to the theater for any of that. Anything on Netflix, Crave, Prime?
Well, you know, one of the things that I love about Netflix is they always roll out these great comedy specials, and there's a whole bunch of them. Dave mm-hmm. Chappelle's got a new one. I know he's a bit of a controversial figure. Some people either like him or don't. There's not many in between. But he's got a new one called The Dreamer, which is pretty fun.
I watched it.
Yeah? And?
Didn't love it.
Yeah?
Didn't find it funny.
No. Well, he's interesting. Yeah, that's the thing with Dave Chappelle. His comedy is more than, it's more of a commentary, right? That's really what it is.
Like, yeah.
Commentary special. But also, Pete Davidson's got one. If you're into old Pete. No,
I was watching it last night.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah, he's got a new one out there.
I love a good comedy special, as you can tell. We were watching that one last night, and there were a couple of very funny laughs in it. Some uncomfortable moments. I'll just say, alluding to the joke about his mother. That one went on for way too long.
No, yeah, he tells a lot about his mother. There's also an interesting thing with the stalker. And yeah, it's interesting stuff. So if you want some comedy, there's Netflix has got a bunch.
Yeah, I did find that one to be funnier. There were some moments that had me. And I saw there's a whole bunch of stand-up comedies that are coming out on Netflix. A few more. There was another comedian that we were watching who I thought was really funny. He had a chill deadpan delivery and I thought he was great, but I can't place his name. I'd never actually seen him before. So there's always good stuff to click on, I think, in terms of comedy, just to check out last minute.
Yeah, there really is. Yeah. So Netflix is probably a good place to go for all those comedy specials.
Thanks so much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Chrissy. You too.
Matt Damaris, Mr. Hollywood.
I got my head out the sunroof. I'm blasting our favorite tunes. I only got one thing on my mind. You got me stuck on the thought.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to the show.
What?
Matt Scooby joins me in studio.
Hi, Casey.
How's it going, my friend?
We can't even, we haven't gotten into anything yet.
You just said something right before I turned my mic on that made me laugh.
That I had two beers?
You said I had...
Not today. To be clear. not right now, even though it might seem like it sometimes.
No, the year is 2024, not 1954. We don't go out for a brandy at lunch. A whiskey, maybe.
Brandy. Whiskey. Scotch.
You said I had two beers last night, and then you said light beers.
Yeah.
And you just added it to yourself,
like, just to
as
clarify,
if you had to clarify like,
had to clarify?
That really tickled me. I don't know why. I had two beers last night. Light beers.
I'm like you right now, where it's like I'm not drinking. Like I have a couple
that's
of beers.
That's drinking, though.
I have a couple of beers after hockey, and that's
but that's
the,
drinking.
I know, but that's the only bit alcohol that I'm having all week.
That's so good.
Yeah. I know,
but I have abstained entirely.
I know you have.
Not that this is a podium or a competition, but if it were, I'd be winning.
But I've been doing this since August, since September. So.
Okay, and now you're winning.
After all your bespoke cocktails that happened throughout the fall and Christmas season, so
is that an imitation of me?
No,
when
it's
you
not.
Talk just, like that,
I'm just,
bespoke cocktails. Not
just like all your hoity, all of your fancy drinks.
Oh.
Making my own syrups and stuff.
Wow, you're really making me sound like a member of the bourgeoisie over here.
You made your own syrup for drinks.
And?
Yeah, that was just, yeah, it was.
What else?
No, I'm just, I was impressed.
Yeah, I like to get a little, fancy
like
in the kitchen.
Not that you've shared it at any point.
Get to like a little freaky with the syrups. What can I say?
Whoa, okay.
Right?
Easy, Tiger.
Well, I'm just saying, that's better than buying a syrup.
It's Friday.
It is Friday.
It's Friday.
We made it.
We did make it.
Are we intact?
I think so.
Somewhat?
Mostly.
Well, you had your light beers.
Wait for the storm. Wait for the storm tonight. So.
Don't start this up again.
Yeah.
I'm driving to Carlton Place tomorrow.
When tomorrow?
Mm.
That's not going to be fun.
I have to be there at 11 a.m.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I have to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you shouldn't be. Maybe not be too bad, but plan for it to take you extra long.
I'm going to leave at 9:45. The 30-minute drive from my house. I'm going to give myself an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, you should be okay.
That's
hopefully,
my plan.
As long as the highway isn't closed. So.
Is that a risk?
Well, with blowing snow, like wind gusts of 60, 70 kilometers an hour, there's going to be crashes. There's going to, like, it's just, it's an inevitability.
Please don't catastrophize my drive.
I'm not trying to catastrophize
anything. Do you think it'll be bad?
I'm just trying to be like, do you really have to go?
I do have to go, yes.
Okay, then that's fine. But like, I'm not trying to scare people, but if you don't have to be on the roads tomorrow morning, don't be on the roads tomorrow morning. Like, it's one of those situations where, you know, close to 30 centimeters of snow is coming. Parts of the 401 will likely be shut down at points. Because of the wind gusts and whatnot, and just how much snow we're going to see. We're going to be in it, and it's happening very quickly.
Sounds kind of like Christmas last year.
It
two
does
years
a little
ago
bit.
Now.
Yeah. That's not quite that storm, because that was
thank goodness.
That was next level. Especially,
I was in it. Natalie Van Roy was in it. We had a whole
group. You guys had your group.
We had a convoy, basically, right?
So, moving
out of town.
Like, do you remember the pictures from, like, Buffalo? Like,
yes.
And from those areas where it was catastrophic? But it was still intense here. So not quite as, I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, but it's also, it's a foot of snow.
By 9:45 tomorrow?
In the morning?
You think the roads will be okay though?
No.
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 Mm. Well.
No, I don't.
Maybe snow, I will have a bespoke cocktail tonight after
The snow's going to start falling. It's still going to be falling probably at that point.
10 p.m. Yeah. tonight it begins.
Yeah, like 8, 9.
Okay.
And it's going to start quickly, too.
The earlier, the better is my rationale.
But it probably,
then they can clear it.
But maybe 9:10 is maybe probably better. Because it's not coming in like, you know, ooh, little light snow and stuff. It's going to come in and it's going to start snowing. It's going to be like, shoo, we coming. Yeah.
Thank you for illustrating how it's going to be.
I'm just saying.
I like that you vocalized.
You're going to think about that tonight when the snow starts.
I sure am. Probably take the dogs out tonight. It's interesting. It's curious because we had this winter where it was all very snowy, but light snow when we got it. And now it seems like we're getting a lot.
Well, now we got 12 centimeters of snow last weekend.
This week, yeah.
And then we got almost 10 centimeters of snow on Tuesday night into Wednesday. Now it's 30 centimeters of snow. This is a typical El Nino winter though, right?
Like 30? I thought it was 15 to 25.
Well, 15 is low end, but that's not for Ottawa. We're on the upper end. Ottawa, we're getting 25 to 30.
All right.
For sure.
Let's pray for low. Let's pray for low.
This is El Nino winter, right? A little bit milder, right? A little bit milder, which it has been. It's going to get colder next week. Not cold like the prairies and territories and extreme cold, like where it feels like minus 55 in Yellowknife. Not that cold, but still pretty cold next week. And then we're getting lots of snow.
Paul says, don't worry, I'm leaving for Florida at 6 a.m. tomorrow by car. Godspeed, my friend.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult, Paul. Like, good luck, and hopefully it goes well, but it's going to be very slow going for the early parts of your
trip. Slow is okay. I like slow.
Yeah.
That's why I'm allotting myself a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Slow is okay, as long as I can see. Right. I'm not a nervous driver.
Should be okay. You should be okay, to see, but it's not going to be fun.
Throw some Carrie Underwood on and go for it. News
can you give us a little sample?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh.